There was once this man, his name was Irenaeus, and he lived from 130 AD to 202 AD. He was a bishop of the church in Lyons, France. He was an eyewitness to the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation. Now, I want to state that again. Listen to this. Irenaeus was an eyewitness to the Apostle John. In other words, he knew him. He knew of him and he knew him because Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, and Polycarp was the first of the Apostle John's disciples. Irenaeus is most known for his five-volume treatise against heresies, in which he exposed the false religions and cults of his day, along with advice for how to share the gospel with those who were a part of them. And really, when you think about it, look at this. Even today, we know the day and time we live in, and time is short. And look what, in his book, Against Heresies, look what he's saying here. It says he exposed the false religions and cults of his day, along with advice for how to share the gospel. Should we not be doing that today? In his writings on Bible prophecy, he acknowledged the phrase, a time, times, and dividing of times, in Daniel 7, to signify the 3.5-year reign of the Antichrist as ruler of the world before the second coming of Christ. He also believed in a literal millennial reign of Christ on earth following the second coming and the resurrection of the just. Now, here he talks about this 3.5-year reign of Antichrist as ruler of the world before the second coming of Christ, okay, in Daniel 7. But understand, the Antichrist comes on the scene almost immediately after the rapture of the church at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period. And once I get beyond the teaching on the pre-tribulation rapture and get into the book of Revelation, I will show you and prove to you that the Antichrist is there, okay? And I'm also going to show those who believe in a mid-tribulation rapture, they think, oh, the first 3.5 years isn't going to be that bad. And I'm going to show you where you're wrong there too, because it's all bad. The first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period is apocalyptic in itself. It is bad. It's just that at the 3.5 years remaining, when God the Father pours out his wrath upon this world, it is going to be unlike anything that anybody has ever seen. But that's for a future discussion, future study that will be coming in the very near future. I'm back to Irenaeus. In his book Against Heresies, chapter 5, verse 29, he wrote, quote, those nations, however, who did not of themselves raise up their eyes unto heaven, nor return thanks to their Maker, nor wish to behold the light of truth, but who were like blind mice concealed in the depths of ignorance. The word justly reckons as wastewater from a sink and as the turning weight of a balance, in fact, as nothing. So far useful and serviceable to the just as stubble conduces towards the growth of the wheat and its straw, by means of combustion serves for working gold. And therefore, when in the end the church shall suddenly be caught up from this, it is said, quote, there shall be tribulation such as not been since the beginning, neither shall be. For this is the last contest of the righteous, in which when they overcome, they are crowned with incorruption. Irenaeus in this passage describes the church leaving the sinful world just before unprecedented disasters. Note his use of the term caught up, which is rapture terminology, as that is the meaning of harpazo, the term for caught up in the King James Bible describing the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He then quotes Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And it is during this time that those who convert to Christianity during the final years will receive the incorruptible crown mentioned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. In Irenaeus' belief, the rapture took place prior to the end times great tribulation. Now remember, folks, Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, and Polycarp was a disciple of John the Revelator, the disciple John. And Irenaeus was an eyewitness of him. He saw him. He knew him. From 96 to 150, the theme of imminency continues in The Shepherd of Hermas, as the church is compared to a tower. Let us go away And after 2 days, let us come and clean these stones and put them into the building. For all things round the tower must be made clear, lest haply the master come suddenly and find the circuit dirty, and he be wroth. And so these stones shall not go to the building of the tower, and I shall appear to be careless in my master's sight. From somewhere between 117 and 138, the Epistle of Barnabas reflects a similar view of enmity when it states, "For the day is at hand on which all things shall perish with the evil one. The Lord is near, and his reward." Now between 98 and 117, Ignatius of Antioch wrote, quote, "The last times are come upon us. Let us therefore be of a reverent spirit and fear the long-suffering of God, lest we despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance." On the basis of Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he continues, quote, "For let us either fear the wrath to come, or let us love the present joy in the life that now is. Let our present and true joy be only this, to be found in Christ Jesus, that we may truly live." Ignatius wrote to Polycarp, you know, the one who was the disciple of John the Revelator. And he says, quote, "Be watchful, possessing a sleepless spirit, and be evermore becoming more zealous than what thou art. Wait carefully the times. Look for him who is above all time, eternal and invisible, yet who became visible for our sakes." Now between 90 and 100, Clement of Rome wrote, quote, "Of a truth, soon and suddenly shall his will be accomplished, as the scripture also bears witness, saying, speedily will he come, and will not tarry. And the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple, even the Holy One, for whom ye look. Let us therefore earnestly strive to be found in the number of those that wait for him, in order that we may share in his promised gifts." Clement here was quoting Habakkuk 2, verse 3, and Malachi 3, verse 1, in a clear statement of imminence. So now, the early church believed in the rapture. The ancient writings are clear. The belief in the rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture, has existed since the day of the apostles. Although there are not a great number of writings on the end times from the early centuries of the church, there is no question that there was a belief in the rapture, a pre-tribulation rapture, among the church fathers, and they taught it with strong language and scriptural support. In terms of the timing of the rapture, the early church fathers placed it before the end times day of the Lord or the great tribulation. The writings of early saints in the church are not scripture and should not be treated on the same level of the Bible. These writings also do not prove that the pre-Great Tribulation rapture or the beginning and end rapture series are correct. Only rightly divided scripture from the Bible can determine if a specific belief is accurate or in error, but the writings of church fathers can serve as useful commentaries, just as we use Bible commentaries today in our studies. And certainly, these prove that the rapture doctrine existed well before John Darby and has been a part of Christian belief since the earliest days of the apostles. So that is why I give the talk to the hand sign when people tell me that the pre-tribulation rapture began with John Darby in 1830. The modern period, beginning in 1648 with the final acceptance of the Protestant Reformation at the Peace of Westphalia, saw the rebirth of premillennialism for at least three important reasons. Number one, due to the influence of Renaissance humanism, the Reformers went back to the investigation of original written sources by the Fathers and the Scriptures. This gave them access to fresh and accurate Greek text, uncorrupted by the Vulgate traditions. It also exposed them to new editions of the early Fathers, including the distinct premillennial teachings of Irenaeus. Much of the allegorical hermeneutic that dominated the medieval period was no longer accepted. Number three, many reformers contacted Jewish sources and had learned Hebrew. This moved many of the reformers to take passages concerning Israel more historically rather than continuing to take them allegorically. This led to more historical, eschatological positions among the reformers. Futurist interpretations, including premillennialism, began to be more prominent in the church, as noted earlier. Sadly, the period between Augustine and the Renaissance was largely dominated by Augustine's spiritualization of the millennium as the reign of Christ and the saints. there were only sporadic discussions of a literal future millennium, making examples of pre-tribulationism very rare. Augustine had declared that the revelation of John was to be interpreted symbolically rather than literally. And for most of the Middle Ages, church councils and theologians considered only abstract eschatology to be acceptable theories. And on another sad note, many people during the Dark Ages and during that Reformation period, during the Renaissance, were put to death by the Roman Catholic Church for even mentioning this stuff, because the Roman Catholic Church was trying to keep control over the masses and keep everybody in the dark about the truth of scriptures, trying to set themselves up as God Almighty. I really hope you enjoyed this teaching, Darby or Jesus. I hope I shed some light on the fact that the pre-tribulation rapture goes all the way back to the very beginning. Now, like I said, I went from Darby all the way back to Irenaeus, who was the disciple of Polycarp, who he was the disciple of John the Revelator. And like I said, Irenaeus had been an eyewitness of John the Revelator. Now, soon to come will be a teaching on the pre-tribulation rapture. I'm going to take you into the scriptures, and I'm going to unfold scriptures galore, and I'm going to put everything in perspective on the pre-tribulation rapture and why it is biblical, and it is the only rapture mentioned of the church. Then following that, I will go into a study of the book of Revelation, and I'm going to show you where everything is at, including the Bema Seat of Christ. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast here on Piercing the Darkness. If you know someone you feel would be blessed by these episodes, please share with your family and friends on social media. Also, please consider a small monthly donation on our Anchor page to sustain future episodes. I'm Dan Newcomb, and have a blessed day.